This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. John chapter 6, it says, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? Look, and one of you is a devil." Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He knew this when he chose him. One of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot. Iscariot was the region that he was from. It signifies the area that he was from. He was the only one that wasn't from the Galilee area. Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's pray. Jesus, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Make my tongue a ready writer's pen. Lord, I sense you wanting to do something very special. I sensed it in the worship. I sense you want to do something in this service. I sense, God, there are people here that don't know you as personal Savior, and you're wanting to redeem people today. And so, Jesus, we're believing that's going to happen. And I pray all this with a grateful heart, for I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about Judas, the betrayer. Judas, the betrayer. A friend of mine said to me a few days ago, he said, "Pastor Benny, your football team got a new coach." Well, I knew that the Tennessee Vols had hired a new coach. And he said, "But your football team got a new coach." And I said, "Yes, that's exactly right." He said, he's a Chinese. I said, no. He said, yes, your football got a new coach. He's a Chinese. He said, "I can tell you his name." I said, "What's his name?" He said, "His name is Win One Soon." I said, "All kind of comedians out of work, and you're trying to be funny, amen?" Win One Soon. But let me tell you a true story. There was a woman who had a precious, precious baby. She had a precious, precious baby, and she gave him a precious name. His name was Judas. No, it wasn't. It's a precious baby. And she gave him a precious name. You know what the word Judas means? The word Judas means praise. It was a wonderful name. She gave him a wonderful, wonderful name. She named him Judas, which means praise. But you know, he ruined the name. He ruined the name. In every service, I've dedicated babies this morning. Every service. And every time I'd say, "What's your baby's name?" Nobody said Judas. Nobody names the baby Judas. Because to be honest with you, Judas Iscariot, he ruined the name. He ruined the name because he's known as Judas the traitor. He's known as Judas the betrayer. He literally ruin the name. Now here's what I read something one time, and it said this. It said, if you have a boss, it's best if you've got a great, great boss. You got a great, great superior, a great, great boss. But he said, if you don't have a great, great boss, what's best is you have a terrible boss. Because either way, you're going to be able to learn a lot. Either way, you're going to be able to learn a lot. Now, what I want us to do today, I want us to look at Judas. And I think we learned some things from Judas. I think perhaps we might even learn more from Judas than any of the disciples. But there's some wonderful principles, and I want to give you some of those principles right quickly. Principle number one is, I want you to see this. Jesus chose Judas, but Judas never chose Jesus. Jesus chose Judas, but Judas never chose Jesus. The scripture says this. It says, ladies and gentlemen, he was one of the 12. So that tells me something. That tells me that he had a great association. I mean, get real. He hung out with Jesus and the 12. His association was very, very good. Somebody said, "Which church do you go to, Judas?" I go to Jesus' church. I mean, get real. Who's the pastor? Jesus is. Who's the deacon board? Peter, James, and John. I mean, get real. I mean, his association was great. He had great association. Let me tell you something else about Judas that you may not never have thought about. Judas had a great reputation. Somebody said, Pastor, you can always tell who the hypocrites are. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus knew that we couldn't. That's why he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. Don't you try to separate them. Let me separate them. I'll separate them in the end. You don't need to be trying to separate them anyway. I've not made you the judge. I've not made you the prosecuting attorney. No, it's not your responsibility to separate them. See, Judas had a great reputation, and the reason why I know it, his job, he was the treasure. He was the treasure of the disciples. They trusted him with their money. And did you ever think about this? When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, the disciples didn't say, it's Judas. Think about it. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, remember what they said? Is it I? Is it me? Nobody suspected Judas. Let me tell you something. He had a great reputation. He had great association. I'll tell you something else. He had great participation. The Bible says in Matthew 10 and 1 that he was given gifts just like the others, to cast out devils, to heal all manner of sickness. I mean, he had great participation. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus chose Judas, but Judas never chose Jesus. And here's what I want you to see. God chooses everybody. God chooses everybody. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God chooses everybody. But people have a responsibility whether or not they choose God. Get the verse, folks. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wait. That whosoever believeth. See, I want you to understand something. Don't you believe a hyper-Calvinistic teaching that says some people are predestined for heaven and some people are predestined for hell. No, God's given us a free will. Jesus died for all people. And we have a choice. We have a choice. And Judas is like a lot of other people. God has chosen them, but they haven't chosen him. Let me tell you the second thing I learned from Judas. Judas was a hypocrite, but it didn't affect the other 11 disciples. Judas was a hypocrite. The Bible literally says in John 6 and 70 that he was a devil from the beginning. He was a devil from the beginning. But it didn't keep the other 11 from serving Jesus. See, I want you to understand something. Every once in a while, a star falls from the sky. We call it a fallen star. Basically a piece of coal. But it attracts a lot of attention. It creates a lot of excitement. But you hear me closely. When it fell from the sky, they were billions on top of billions in the galaxies that never moved, that are right where God put them, that never moved an inch, and they're right where God put them. Judas was a hypocrite, but Peter wasn't. Judas was a hypocrite, but Andrew wasn't. Judas was a hypocrite, but James wasn't. Judas was a hypocrite, but John wasn't. Somebody said, Pastor, all the preachers are messing up. All the preachers are going bad. You don't know what you're talking about. There's billions that are right where God put them. There's men that are pastoring small churches that get up every Sunday. They're underpaid. They're overworked. They're underappreciated. But they get up and they open the Word of God and proclaim the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And while I'm on that nail, there are people in law enforcement. There's some that are bad. There's some bad apples. But listen to me closely. Billions on top of billions of law enforcement are putting their lives on the line every day for a small salary. A small salary. Tell you something. Somebody said, I'd go to church if it wasn't for the hypocrites. Hypocrites, that's a cop out. That's just a cop out. Let me tell you something. You've never walked into Walmart and said, you know, there may be a hypocrite in here. We better leave. I prayed before a golf tournament yesterday before 120 women went out to play golf. I sent them off with a prayer before they went out. Nobody said there might be hypocrites here. We ought to leave. That's a cop out. And by the way, if the hypocrite's between you and God, the hypocrite's closer to God than you are. Pastor Benny, I'd come down to your church if it wasn't for the hypocrites. Come on down. One more won't hurt anything. Let me tell you the third thing that I learned about this man, Judas. Judas was not like a lot of people today. Judas was not interested in lordship. Judas was not interested in lordship. See, folks, let me tell you something. I'm an emotional person. Anybody that knows me know he's emotional. Literally, I told Barbara, I said, that cold medicine has made me so hyper. She said, my goodness, how can you tell? I'm an emotional person. But you understand this. It's not how high we jump. It's how straight we walk after we hit the ground. It's not how high you jump. It's how straight we walk after we hit the ground. And let me tell you something. Judas was not interested in lordship, and I can prove it from the Word of God. Matthew 26, 21, look what this verse says. As they did eat, he said, truly I say unto you, one of you guys is going to betray me. One of you guys is going to betray me. Now look. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, get that terminology there. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it me? Every one of them. Is it me, Lord? Is it me? But now we get to Judas, and look what Judas said. And Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, teacher. The terminology there, master, is not master in that way. It's teacher. Rabbi, teacher, is it I? He wasn't interested in Lord. Teacher, is it I? Let me tell you something. The secret to the victorious Christian life is the lordship of Jesus Christ. I've been doing this all these years. You know what most people want? They want fire insurance. They want just enough of Jesus to get out of hell. They simply want fire insurance. But we need more than fire insurance. We need the lordship of Jesus Christ. We need the lordship of Jesus Christ. See, somebody said, Pastor, I'm just addicted to pornography and there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, there is. I'm just a meth addict and there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, there is. Pastor, I've just got this sin in my life, and you just don't understand, Pastor. I just can't control my anger. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Did you ever do this? Somebody said, Pastor Benny, you and your wife ever fuss? No. But sometimes we have intensive fellowship. Did you ever have any intensive fellowship? Yeah. Yeah, if they didn't raise their hands, they're habitual liars. But anyway, yeah. Sure, we've had intensive fellowship. Boy, you're having intensive fellowship. You've been there. About that time the phone rings. Hello? I had an anger problem. I'd lose my temper. But when I was a boy, my mother helped me to find it. Yeah. Someone said, Pastor Benny, how do you overcome what's pulling you down? Listen, I don't care what's pulling you down. You overcome it through lordship. You overcome it through lordship. You overcome it through. Listen, I'm not one of these preachers that says, oh, just because it's sloppy grace, you just live how you want to, you'll go to heaven. You won't have much of a life on earth. You won't have much of a life. Then how do we, well, look what the Bible says, and I've got to move. Look what the Bible says. And they overcame him. By the way, who's him? He's the devil. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. Get three little words, cleansing. Cleansing, cleansing. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a cleansing that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Wait. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But step number two, the word of their testimony. There's something about confession. There's something about speaking what God's done in our life. There's something about let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's something about when we confess what God. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. There's always something to confess about how good God's been to us. My goodness. Hey, we started singing, all my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. And I'm in the process right now finishing up a book called Defy the Odds. And my mother said to me, she said, Benny, I need to tell you something that I never told you. I said, tell me about it, Mama. Why did you never tell me? She said, when I was pregnant with you, she said, this man took me to this facility. It was a medical facility, but it was dark and drudgery. And she said, I just had an eerie feeling. And I said to that man, why are we here? And he said, we're here to take care of that baby. We're here to take care of that baby. We're going to get rid of that baby today. And my mama said, I ran out of that facility and I started crying and saying, nobody's gonna take my baby, nobody's gonna kill my baby. Oh, you tell me, all my life God had been faithful, all my life God had been good. They overcame him by the cleansing, they overcame him by the confession. But look, and they love not their lives unto death. Commitment. I'm talking about lordship. I'm talking about, folks, giving everything to God. I'm talking about saying, I'm not going to straddle the fence anymore. There's no fence to straddle anyway. It's when we totally surrender, you can have victory in your life. You can have victory in your life over what's constantly pulled you down. It's the fourth thing I learned about Judas, and I got to hurry. I guess there's not another service, so I can. Judas thought worship was a waste. Judas thought worship, he thought it was just a waste. He said, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, in John chapter 12, you remember that lady that brought that expensive ointment, that perfume probably came from a plant in India, and she put it on his feet. She took her hair and started washing his feet. It was an act of worship. And Judas speaks up. Judas speaks up and says, that should have been sold. money given to the poor. He didn't care anything about the poor. He was stealing out of the Lord's bag. You read the scripture. He was stealing out of the Lord's money bag. And Jesus addressed him and he said, get this. Let her alone. Against the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you. But me, you have not always. Jesus said, no. Worship is very, very important. Let me tell you, this is pre-COVID, by the way, folks. This has got nothing to do with COVID. Before COVID, 17% of Christians were in church on Sunday. Before COVID in America, 17% of Christians went to church. Maybe as Americans, we can identify a little bit with Judas, who said worship's not important. But folks, I want to tell you something. Worship is important. I want to tell you coming to God's house is important. Worship and praising God, hearing the preach word of God, studying the word of God, it's so important to your life. See, the Bible says this. It says in Psalms 134 and 2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I want to make a statement. Lifting your hands and praising God is not a Pentecostal or charismatic thing. It's a Christian thing that's in the biblical that's okay to do because the Bible teaches it. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Do you realize this, folks? Psalms 95 and 1 says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. You say, man, I don't have a holy holler. Well, you may not. God said, if you don't have a holy holler, you just make a religious racket. You just sing. Because he deserves the praise. Psalms 104 says, you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalms 150 verse 4 says this. He says, praise him with a timbrel. Praise him with the string instruments. Praise him with these instruments. It's okay to do this. Hey, I got one mixed up. I mean, hey, why don't we get real? Amidst all those instruments is praise him by dancing. I have no rhythm. I can't do it. But there's nothing wrong with it. If somebody gets excited in church and wants to move a little bit, nothing wrong with it. Folks, it breaks my heart. It breaks them. I said, oh, Pastor, I'm just not into that. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Saturday, you'll go to Athens, Georgia. You'll go to Athens, Georgia. Let me tell you something. You'll park a mile away. Never complain about how long the football game lasts. You'll park, you'll walk in the rain, you'll walk in whatever to that football game and complain when you come to church if you have to walk 10 yards. I'm just not an emotional person. You'll go to that football game on Saturday, act like a wild Indian, come in here on Sunday and act like a wooden Indian. A man who preaches heart out, a man who preaches heart out, some will say, bless me if you can. And a man preaching his heart out. Judas thought worship was a waste. Judas thought worship was a waste. Let me tell you something, folks. He deserves that and a whole lot more after what he's done for us. He deserves that. Hey, why don't we just stand up and just praise Him right now? Why don't we just stand up and just praise Him? Wait, while you're up, folks, while you're up, you're thinking, I don't even know about all this. I don't, no, I know about it because it's Bible. Look what the Bible says. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let me give you the fifth point, because this is an important point. It's an important point. The thing, listen closely, the thing you take in place of Jesus, you will eventually lose. Now get this. Judas denied the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. You can read it in the scripture. He denied the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says eventually he took those 30 pieces of silver and he threw them down at the chief priest's feet. You get this. The thing he took in place of Jesus, he eventually lost. And here's all I want you to see. Whatever you take in place of Jesus and whoever you take in place of Jesus, you'll eventually lose. Whatever you take and whoever you take in place of Jesus, I want you to know something. You will eventually lose Him. It. The sixth thing, and I'm almost done. Whatever happens, don't let go of Jesus. Whatever happens, don't let go of Jesus. Here's what I want you to see. When they came to arrest Jesus, and here's a powerful message, folks. Here's a powerful message. I'm asked a lot, how should people dress? How should they dress? And the only thing that the Bible says about dress, by the way, folks, is we ought to adorn ourselves modestly. I mean, just being honest. We ought to adorn ourselves modestly. We come to God's house. A lady comes to God's house, and she don't have enough clothes on to make a squirrel a bathing suit. No, hey, listen, we ought to dress modestly. I've never understood these guys want to preach and show their muscles from the pulpit. Of course, if I had some, maybe I would. But. But here's all I know. They said, I'll kiss him so you know who he is. You know what I know from that, folks? Jesus didn't have some big entourage. He didn't have gold rings and Rolexes and, you know, he didn't have all that. He looked just like everybody else. He looked just like everybody else. Because they had to identify him. And Judas said this, team, and I promise I'm done. Judas said this. He said, I'm going to kiss him and you'll know who he is. But when you get him, hold him fast. Don't you ever let him go. And here's what I want to say to you. I don't care how you've messed up in life. You say, Pastor, I've shamed my family. I've shamed myself. Brother Benny, you don't understand how I've digressed. How I've digressed in my Christian faith. I've just messed up so many times. Hey, I've messed up a few times too. Hadn't you? I've messed up a few times too. But here's what I'd say. No matter how many times you've messed up, don't you ever let go of Jesus. Don't you ever let go of Jesus, because I want you to know this. Jesus will never let go of you. Jesus will never let go of you. No matter what's happened in your life, Jesus will never let go of you. There's one other point, I'm done. Judas didn't end well. He went out and hanged himself. He didn't end well. You know, I studied this, team. Get this, and I studied this. Judas betrayed the Lord. Peter denied the Lord. You can read about both of them in Luke chapter 22. One betrayed, one denied. The only difference was one repented and one didn't. One said, I'm sorry, and one didn't. I want to challenge all of us. Let's be like Peter and not be like Judas. Let's be like Peter and not be like Judas. Because I want you to know something. Judas ended up in the wrong place. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 25, he went to his own place. He went to the wrong place. He went to hell. Went to hell. On a time when we hear no discussion about hell, here we read about a man who went to hell. Tell you a story and I'm done. I've pastored 3 churches. My second church was a church called Sweet and Heal. I often say I left that church for health reasons. The deacons got sick of me. I'd get out and knock on those doors and invite people to church. I'd go down there. There was no boy named Jerry. I said, Jerry, I wish you'd come to church. Jerry'd say, oh, preacher. Little preacher. He'd call me little preacher. Little preacher. I was a kid. He said, them walls would fall in before Jerry came. I said, Jerry, I wish you'd come. I really do, Jerry. Ah, preacher, you. Maybe one of these days, old Jerry's got some living to do. I wish you'd come, Jerry. I remember one Saturday afternoon, I got a call and said, would you come to the University of the South Swanee Hospital? Jerry's been in a motorcycle accident. He lapped a curve and lost control. Jerry was drinking heavy and on a motorcycle and lapped the curve and lost control. And he's at the University of the South Hospital. And I went to that hospital and I pulled up on that little grounds and there was all kind of people there. And somebody said, there's a preacher. There's a preacher. Let him get in. Let the preacher get in. And so I went on in and somehow I got through the emergency room and everything. And I heard Jerry's voice. And Jerry was cussing the doctors that was trying to save his life. Before I could get to Jerry, Jerry died. Folks, I'm just sharing the fact. I know right now of 3 funerals that I've got to do next week. That's right now. It may be 8 or 10 before the week's over, but I know of 3. Not COVID deaths, just people dying. But Jerry died. And his mom looked at me and said, Preacher Benny, I want you to preach my boy's funeral. I said, I'll do my best. She was a godly lady and went to my church. And the day of the funeral came and they said, we're going to have a final viewing. That's a custom. It was a custom back then in the hills of Tennessee. Everybody came by and saw the body one final time. And the preacher stood at the head of the casket and I stood at the head of the casket being 22, 23 years old. I was just a kid. I stood at the head of the casket and everybody came by and then that mom was the very last one and she got up and she pulled that boy up to her in her arms. She pulled him up in her arms, lifted him out of that casket. Then she placed him down and she looked me square in the eye. If I live to be 100, I'll never forget her looking me right in the eye. And she said, Preacher Benny, my baby's in hell. my baby's in hell. And it was like I got a message. There is a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. And eternity's too long to be wrong. We don't want to go where Judas is at. We want to go where Jesus is at.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.